From the windy and frozen banks of the Yellowstone River in Livingston, Montana, mere miles from the nearly 1 million-acre AB Wilderness, and a short drive through Paradise Valley to get to Yellowstone National Park, welcome to a new episode of This Week in Yellowstone for the week of February 6th to February 12th, 2025. Hosted by me, that Scott guy, aka the guy with a bison tattoo. What's up, everybody? Coming in with a little more energy. The only note I've received from anyone so far is I tend to trail off in energy toward the end of this. So I'm starting up very high. So then when I get to the end of it, I'm at my normal, like, NPR voice level. So let's see how that goes. This week in Yellowstone National Park, I'm going to give you an update on the wolf hunting bills, tell you about a lesser-known road in Yellowstone to drive, share a cool snowshoe and cross-country ski route, and also let you know how the wildlife sightings have been. Hopefully, this is going to help inspire you to take a trip to the park. Also, standard disclaimer, I might miss a few things, so if there's anything else you'd like to know, just reach out. I also mentioned park locations pretty casually, so if you're unfamiliar, a quick search might help. Also, this report only covers drivable areas of the park and does not cover those areas where you may be taking a snow coach or snowmobile tour. All right, this week in Yellowstone news. It's another slow news week in Yellowstone. Again, good thing. I do have a few things to update and share. The first is an update on the wolf hunting bills I talked about last week. House Bill 222 failed, while House Bill 176 was amended and passed through the Montana House. Now, this is going to be changed a little bit. Like I said, it was amended. Initially, this bill required the Montana Fish and Wildlife Commission to establish an unlimited statewide quota on wolf hunting while the population was above 550 animals in Montana. But the language was amended on the floor, allowing the Fish and Wildlife Commission to apply an unlimited quota at their discretion. The commission could continue to manage wolves under the state's current management strategy. And so if updates occur on this, I will share those. That's better news than it was, as it allows Montana Fish and Wildlife and the commission that is in charge of this to continue to monitor each region and make decisions based on that instead of just a statewide quota. That is much better news. And a lot of the anti-wolf people are upset about the amendment. So that's how you know it's probably good for the wolves. In other news, the only other thing that's kind of making the rounds right now is a potential issue with seasonal workers. That includes rangers and not just those staff that work in national parks for, you know, the summer. This could even include law enforcement officers. But right now, a lot of places are talking about the hiring freeze that the president implemented and then rescinded. However, the hiring freeze, as I said, that was rescinded, is still not quite solved, as the Bozeman Daily Chronicle was still reporting as of 2 days ago that a potential staffing problem for the summer will exist. I've also seen rumors that law enforcement officers across the country are not being renewed for their contracts. And I even saw today somebody that had a seasonal ranger position was told that they are not hiring for those seasonal ranger positions right now. All that being said, I'm not quite sure what's going on with that, and the issue doesn't seem to be that big at the moment, which is why I'm not going to be mentioning it again unless it amounts to something much more serious. Right now, it's a, well, what's going on? Everything's kind of up in the air, and there's a lot of speculation and, you know, guessing as to what's going to happen next, but I'm not going to be playing the what-if game with news stories here. There are plenty of other places for that. I just wanted to update that as something that, you know, you might want to pay attention to, but also it could all be worked out and not be a big deal. We don't really know right now, so that's all I want to say about that. I don't know, though. Like, news stories like that are a bit of a bummer, and especially if there's no tangible facts, then I don't know what I should be doing about it, but, you know, just giving you a heads up that there's currently some potential hiring issues down the road. Currently, I think we're okay, but I don't really know. So, after news, it's always like weird to transition, but here's the transition for the experience of the week. And the experience of the week that I would like to recommend is driving the old Yellowstone Trail South Road. Now, I could talk about this for hours. Like, I love talking about the roads of the park and what you can see and drive. Probably should put together a driving tour guide book or something to the park, but that's a lot. The old Yellowstone Trail South Road is very short, but really cool. But this is the condensed version, so enjoy. So many who visit the park's northern entrance in Gardner, Montana, assume that they have left the park once they pass through the entrance station back into Gardner from Mammoth. While you have left the main park access point, there are still 4.5 miles of Yellowstone National Park roads that should be seen. After leaving the park, head under the Roosevelt Arch and hang to the left. You'll drop down a small hill, pass a park on the right, and then go past the high school, also on the right. I will only say this once for this entire road, but keep your eyes open for wildlife as they frequent this region all year long. Like, this is a kind of underrated wildlife spot very close to Gardner. A few hundred yards after the high school, you'll see the Yellowstone Heritage and Research Center on the right. With over 6 million items, Yellowstone has one of the largest collections in the National Park Service. The collections here grow continuously with the addition of archival records, archaeological artifacts, and scientific specimens. To learn more, you can schedule an appointment to explore the herbarium or archives, sign up for a public tour, or you can kind of just drop in during business hours and see the library collection and public exhibits. You can also go to the website and view online collections anytime. According to the Yellowstone National Park Service website, the current exhibits are Women in Yellowstone. The exhibit tells the story of women from the early history of Yellowstone National Park through their work as park rangers, naturalists, and entrepreneurs. There's also the Yellowstone National Park Travel Through Time online exhibit that you can see anytime. This online exhibit explores travelers through Yellowstone National Park from the earliest Native American groups, European trappers, and surveyors to present-day visitors. So once you've left the Heritage and Research Center, continue on the road heading north. The road will gradually climb a hill, giving off views of Electric Peak. 1 mile from the arch, you're going to see a small dirt road on the right. If you take this right, you'll go up to the Old Gardner Cemetery, which is also known as Tinker's Hill Cemetery. If you stop and wander this place, you may see some names you'd recognize from places and stories of Yellowstone National Park. After you walk around there and see the old gravesites and take in the views, make sure to stop and look back toward Gardner when you're heading back to the main road, as you're going to get a cool view of town, including Mount Everett's and the Roosevelt Arch. Beyond the cemetery, the road continues to slowly climb the hill, passing pullouts to stop and look for wildlife, or you can just take in sweeping views. Once you reach the top of the hill, the road drops down sharply, passing the Stevens Creek Road. This is best known as a bison capture area for the bison relocation and brucellosis testing, as well as the bison culling. So after you pass this road, you'll remain in the park for another 1.8 miles. After you leave the park, you can continue on the road again for 3.4 miles, taking in even more cool sights, spotting wildlife, and enjoying the relative calmness of this dirt road. Definitely stop and enjoy the geological feature known as Devil's Slide. And you have access to the Yellowstone River nearby. And before crossing the bridge to get to Yellowstone Hot Springs and back to Highway 89, look on the hills to your left for bighorn sheep. You'll often see them there, especially in the fall and early spring. And then once you're done, you can return to Gardner by either turning around and driving the dirt road back, or you can turn right, like I said, cross that bridge, and head on Highway 89 south back toward Gardner. The tip of the week. My tip of the week will seem pretty simple and obvious, but it's super important. So what is it? It's have a pair of binoculars or a spotting scope with you when you come to Yellowstone. I often see people in the park pulling over to a pullout where wildlife is out in the distance, and they're not able to see it without the aid of a good pair of binoculars or a spotting scope. Now, you might get lucky and see wildlife close to the road, but chances are, if you're going to see something, it's going to be out in the distance, especially if it's a wolf or mountain lion or later in the year when it's a bear. So last week when I was in the park, people were watching wolves that were 2 miles away. When they're that far away, you're not able to see them without binoculars or a spotting scope at all. Like, you can kind of make out where people are saying they are, but you won't be able to see anything. Even when they are closer, you're still going to want to be able to see them better, because sometimes they'll be out on a hillside and you can see them, but it's just going to be a dot in the distance. Because of that, again, always have a pair of binoculars or a spotting scope with you when you're in the park. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of brands of glass that you can buy depending on the type and style of binocular or spotting scope you want. And I'm often asked what I prefer. Honestly, right now, Vortex seems to be the most common type of binoculars used in the park. They cost anywhere between $100 and $1,500 for a pair of binoculars, depending on the size and power that you want. I'm not getting paid to advertise them or mention them at all. I just happen to have a pair that I really enjoy, and I've seen a lot of people use them in the park and have enjoyed them. So, you know, go check them out at whatever store nearby sells binoculars and see if you enjoy them too. You might find a different brand that works for you, and that's awesome too. Just find something that you like how it feels, you like how it looks, you like the distance that you can see and the clarity. One thing I do recommend is try and test it in lower light situations. So that way when you're in the park early morning, late evening, you're still going to be able to see something good. The weather for the coming week. So it's winter, and this week's forecast shows that it's winter. I mean, what a shock, right? So if you're coming to the park this weekend or early next week, expect some snow, some cold, and maybe a little sun. Lamar Valley forecast is as follows. Snow should be developing in the region on Thursday, with Friday being the snowiest day. Currently, the forecast is calling for about 5 inches of snow. Highs on Thursday and Friday will be in the 20s, and lows are going to drop to -1 by Friday night. The rest of the weekend and the week will be partly sunny with highs in the teens and lows below zero. The Cook City forecast. As always, Cook City is going to be similar to Lamar, but colder and snowier. The highs on Thursday and Friday will be in the low 20s, and the lows will be below zero. Expect about 6 inches of new snow for Thursday and Friday. It also may snow lightly on Saturday. That could be a heavy snow, or it might not snow at all. Once the snowstorm's gone through, expect highs in the low teens and lows below zero until next Wednesday. And then in Gardner is going to be warmer than Lamar and Cook City, with highs just below freezing for Thursday and Friday. The low on Friday is said to be just 2 degrees. Friday may also have Gardner seeing 3 inches of new snow. Could be more, could be less. Expect highs Saturday through Wednesday to be below freezing, with lows in the negatives. And it will be partly sunny, so you might get some sun breaks. The snowpack update, since I'm talking about snow. Snowpack is continuing to climb, which is great news. The northwest corner of the park is about 100% of normal, while the west side of the park is around 90%. The rest of the park is hovering around 87%. So we still have a ways to go, but this has been a decent winter so far, especially compared to last year. Road conditions. The roads in the park have the potential to be decently snowpacked throughout the weekend and also icy in a few spots. Fresh snow will impact travel times and potentially make the road more hazardous. They will gradually get better as the weekend ends, but don't expect clear pavement on a majority of the open road in the park anytime soon. As always, drive slowly, do not drift toward the shoulder too much, and really pay attention to where you're going. Once again, I've consistently been seeing cars that have driven off the road and gotten stuck in the snow. It's a daily occurrence. For up-to-date information on the roads, call 307-344-2117 for recorded information, or you can sign up to receive Yellowstone Road Alerts on your phone by texting 82190 to the number 888-777. So send a message to 888-777, and the message should read 82190. That will sign you up for text alerts. Also, when you're driving, just anticipate possible road closures due to inclement weather and dangerous driving conditions anytime during the winter. Camping information for Yellowstone National Park. I don't know, just wanted to do a new intro. As per usual, this time of the year, Mammoth is the only campground in the park that's open. You can camp in the backcountry, but it's going to be cold. Just don't do it. If you are dead set on camping, expect very cold temperatures at night. And do not camp unless you have good winter gear and experienced in winter camping. If you're just hoping to have a fun camping experience, don't do it right now. It's not going to be fun unless being very, 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 very cold is fun to you. Which it might be, you know. And if that's the case, just still have good gear. The wildlife watching update. As of the time of this recording, which is Wednesday, February 5th, about 10:30 a.m. Montana Standard Time. I know it's Mountain Standard Time, but I live in Montana. All right. Wolves have been spotted around the Hell Roaring area. There is a carcass out there. They're picking it pretty clean. Will it last through the weekend? Who knows? Moose are still hanging out around the Round Prairie area. They may drift towards like Soda Butte Cone, but generally stop and scan around there and you might see a moose. Bison and elk are scattered about in the northern range. Got caught in a bison jam last week. It's just kind of what's going on right now. I've even heard that there are some bighorn sheep that have been spotted in two spots in the northern range. The ewes are going to be near the Yellowstone River picnic area, and the rams will be near the confluence of Soda Butte Creek and the Lamar River. There's also a black bear den near the petrified tree that's been occasionally putting on a show and worth stopping at. The black bear that is in the den has been sticking its head out sometimes, or maybe a paw, which is fun to see, but don't expect a lot of activity. If you do want to see that bear, it is not going to be as impressive as a bear walking around, but it's still kind of cool to see a bear in a den. Outside the park, wildlife abounds. The large elk herd that frequents the outside northern area of the park is hanging out north of the park near Yankee Jim Canyon and the north side of that. And bighorn sheep are also around that area, especially if you're going up toward Tom Minor. And out near Cook City, moose and foxes have been spotted daily. And that's kind of where the wildlife are. As always, drive back and forth. That's how you're going to see them. But there's also this. If you love what you heard but want more wildlife information on Yellowstone National Park, you can get even more out of your adventure with my wildlife watching and hiking guidebooks to the region. They're available in both ebook and paperback formats, and the wildlife watching book is going to help you spot wildlife like a seasoned local. I've written it based on my lifetime of experience in the park. It is definitely a fantastic starting point and will help you all year long. You can grab your copy now at outdoor-society.com. That's outdoor-society.com. All right, hiking news and updates. The trails are going to be snow-covered, not a shock. You're going to need snowshoes or cross-country skis to experience pretty much anything. You could attempt to hike in just boots on some trails, but you're going to be post-holing deep every single step. That's not what you want to do. It's not fun. It's exhausting. So if you do that, good luck. But if you do wear snowshoes or cross-country skis, just know that the groomed trails are going to be much easier to travel on than the non-groomed trails. Those are going to be slow going, but worth it. You're just going to have to really pace yourself and not get too warm, too tired. And the last real segment is the Truck of the Week. So if you're headed to the park this week, you're going to have an opportunity to see the landscape after a decent snowfall. The snow is going to allow you to see the movements of animals in the snow, as well as let you take in the sweeping vistas of the snow-covered landscapes. It will be very pretty. So while nearly every trail will be awesome right now, the trail I'm recommending for this coming week is the Blacktail Plateau Ski Trail. For this adventure, snowshoes or cross-country skis are required. If you snowshoe, just make sure you don't walk on the cross-country ski paths. That's like very uncool to do. So make sure you stay in the side, even if it's more work. Don't mess up the ski trails, as those are groomed sometimes. So start at the trailhead 8 miles from Mammoth near the Forces of Nature Boardwalk Trail. Not that standard start on the Blacktail Road, which is a little further up. When you start across from the Forces of Nature Trail, you get a more gradual incline to start, and also some pretty great views of the Gallatin Mountains, including Electric Peak behind you. Now, this is going to be an out-and-back trail, unless you have 2 cars and do a point-to-point. So travel as far as you wish, and then turn around. And you can go one direction is about 8 miles, and you could make it a long distance, but I typically go around 3 or 4 miles, and you get up to a nice little plateau. There's a rock that's kind of sticking out of the snow, and if you walk over to that, you get some great views in all directions. When I wander this trail in the winter, I usually see elk and bison, coyotes and foxes, and I've also seen fresh wolf tracks in the snow. And I just heard about a cross-country skier coming across a wolf pack here just last week. They rounded a corner, and off on a hillside a couple hundred yards from them was a wolf pack, which is pretty cool. This is definitely a good place to check out. And, you know, you may also see owls or ermine bouncing around, and you're going to be around some people, but it's winter crowded on trails, which means you're going to see maybe like 10 people most. So check that out if you're looking for a good adventure. Now, if you love being on foot in the great outdoors but want to make the most of your time in Yellowstone, you can book a tour with me. I am a knowledgeable local expert who knows the best spots, hidden gems, and all the incredible wildlife stories the park has to offer. I also love park history and love sharing that. I offer private guided hikes in Yellowstone designed to give you an unforgettable experience in the wild. We go beyond the boardwalks here, and so whether you're looking for breathtaking views, wildlife encounters, or just a stress-free day in nature, I've got you covered. So if you're ready to hit the trails and you want someone to tell you about the park and show you around, reach out to me directly or check out my current guided hiking options at outdoor-society.com. Let's make your Yellowstone adventure one to remember, and hopefully you can fall in love with the park as much as I do. With that, that is our episode, and here is my outro with a little message at the end. This Week in Yellowstone is brought to you by the Outdoor Society, because that's my company, and that's where this is hosted. There are no sponsors. This is a labor of love, so thank you all for listening. Copyright 2025, baby!